Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord.
Title today for our teaching, and it's simply called Mine with a question mark. Mine. Heavenly Father, we thank you that what we hear, what we receive, is not what the world gives. Our meeting, our gathering together is supernatural. Enable us, Lord, to take into our hearts your living word. Because only your word can change us and mold us into your image. Only your word can feed us. Because you've said you are the bread of life. Touch our minds and our hearts, we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, our title today is Mine. We're told in John 17 and verse 6, John 17 and verse 6, they were yours, you gave them to me. They were yours, and you gave them to me. Without that statement, none of us will be here today. None of us, in fact, have any hope. Unless we are called by God from the foundation of the world, we will never, ever understand, and we certainly will not be His. You see, an overcomer, and that is what we preach with the Deeper Life, is someone whom the Holy Spirit has brought about this realization. The baptism of the Holy Spirit brings to us this realization, this understanding that we are His and that we have been brought with a price. These are not simply words written on a page. They are an experience, a realization, an understanding. And this is absolutely paramount for us. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, which says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." In other words, our body, our whole being, which is now filled with the Holy Spirit, the fullness of Almighty God, who is in us. And where do we get it from? It is given as a gift from God. Therefore, if we receive that gift, which I assume that we all have, you are not your own. In other words, you have surrendered all right to yourself. And that includes your will. Everything now comes from God's perspective. Everything I say, I do, my actions, the way I act, people I meet, my everyday walk, my life with my family, my husband, my wife, is not mine. It comes from Him. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings us that experience, that realization. It is an empowerment, because it cannot be achieved in the flesh otherwise. And this is absolutely vital if we are to be an overcomer. You see, to say I am not my own is fundamentally you've reached that point with God as an overcomer. That is sonship into your life, my life. And therefore, if we have come to that place, that realization, then everything I do is as a result of that person who is in my life, and His name is Jesus Christ. Everything I do is unto Him and for His glory. Every facet of my life, every function of my life, every heartbeat is for Him. Whether what I say, what I do, where I go, how I am led, you could just go on and on and on infinitum. In other words, what we are saying is, His life is free in me, because my flesh has been dealt with by the cross that I take up daily and follow Him. It isn't about me. It isn't about you. We live only for Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Then you can confidently experience, they are mine. That is what the deeper life walk is about, brothers and sisters. In other words, the Holy Spirit interprets, He explains, He reveals to me, He teaches me the nature of Jesus to me, to make me one with the Father. That's His ministry. That is why He said, "I go away, but I will come back to you. I will come back to you," not some power, not some influence, not some idea. The living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who lives forever, says, I come back to you. Not as some denomination or religious organization or a spiritual idea. None of these. This is why God hates religion. Because he says, I come back to you. I will not leave you comfortless. My life is with you, in you, and through you. You live now for me. And I will live my life through you in this life until you come home to me. That is the deeper life teaching, brothers and sisters. And I wonder how many of us still understand this. You see, we're not saved to be some trophy living in a showcase or a valuable object on a mantelpiece. That's not what we're about. And yet that's what many think being a Christian is. Hey, look at me. Look what God has done to me and is doing for me. As though we're some showcase, as though we're something special, different. Not at all. Jesus certainly didn't come in that way. Look at his life. Look where he was born. He dwelt amongst the poor, the lowly, born in a stable, and eventually dies upon a cross. That certainly isn't somebody who's a trophy or some valuable object in a museum or whatever. And yet, look what religion does. That's how it makes him. Not at all. Anything but. You see, our Lord Jesus has never sent any of his disciples out on the basis of what he has done for them. He doesn't send you out on the basis of what he has done for you, for me. And believe me, he has done a lot and continues to do a lot. This is why evangelism, so much of it doesn't work. He sends you out because of who is in you. Jesus. That is whom the world will respond to. The life that is in you. Not what he's done for you. And this is where we get it wrong. And this is where contemporary evangelism today has got it wrong. You see, it wasn't until after the resurrection, when the disciples had perceived through the power of the Holy Spirit who Jesus really was. Then he said to them, go. Up until then, they didn't really know. For example, in Matthew 28, verse 19, we know these verses, but I'll simply reiterate them to you. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, therefore, making disciples. Only Christ in you can make a disciple. You can't. And don't even attempt to. That's why we've got denominationalism today. Simply adding more confusion. What does Luke 24:49 tell us? Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I send the promise of what? The revelation, the understanding, the experience of my Father. And that is why we cry, Abba, Father. That is why we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It is an experience, a realization of him. And he says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. How about Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Again, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. To be what? Witnesses of yourself? What God has done for you? No, witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That is what it is about. So in other words, can God trust you to be sent out in this world to be witnesses of him? Or is there still so much of you? Your life, your worldliness, living like the world, acting like the world. Then you cannot be witnesses. You cannot reveal him. The world can't see him. The question, brothers and sisters, we need to raise today in all honesty and humility, does the world see me, or is it seeing Jesus? That is the question. And only you can answer that. Only you can come before God and seek God on that, because that is what it's about. We know Jesus said that if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we all know, don't we, that what it means here, hate, is in other words, hating the alternative to Jesus. Anything that contends, anything that tries to influence or force me with regard to Christ, I am to hate. And sadly, a lot of that comes right out of our family life. Comes out sometimes to the closest one to you, forcing you to make a decision of whether to put their demands or what they want first or Christ. You see, we're tested in this. And sometimes God allows our failures in order to get us to drop on our knees, to get that real confession out of us, to make us desperate. Sometimes even God provokes us to work that deliverance within us, because so often we're in fear of the alternative. If I say no, if I want to put Christ first, there is that fear, and that fear will always make us compromise. And therefore, the power of the Spirit of God isn't working. That is the devil's lie. We know that he so often blows things out of proportion. And God will never give us rest. All the while, we desire to be an overcomer. Until we overcome this, we will find we will go round and round this circuit until we get it right. And when we get it right, what is happening? It's not me, it's the life of Christ in me. Remember, brothers and sisters, all the oppositions that you face, and sadly, they can come right out of your family life. They're not opposing you. They're opposing the life that lives in you. They are coming against Jesus Christ. And the word of God says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets, my saints, no harm. It is fearful when people and family hinder and stop the life of Christ, the obedience to him working. It's fearful. But they are part of the trials and the testings that we are to have in this life. Jesus had it. He says we will have it also. And that's why he says, if any come and hate not father, mother, children, brothers, sisters, and his life also, cannot be my disciple. Luke 14 and verse 26, that's what it says. You see, he's not simply saying that this person cannot be saved, because there is a view, a teaching, that if you are not a disciple of Christ, then you're not saved. I don't believe, in my experience and my knowledge of Scripture, that that is absolutely right. And I don't believe we have the authority to say that, because Scripture shows some will be saved through fire. Some will be saved as they just call upon the Lord, and so on. But what it does mean, that a disciple is not entirely his. And that's why, of course, I'm calling this teaching today mine. In other words, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he says, you are mine. And that is the difference. Because at the end of the day, who wants to be saved having lost all their rewards? We have gone far too far in this walk. We have seen too much and we are experiencing too much to rest on our laurels and just, oh, well, I'll just be saved. You know, I can't really walk this walk and I don't really want to change anymore. You know, I've had enough of it, but I'll get saved anyway. Who wants that? That is certainly not the life in you, accepting that. The life in you, which is Jesus Christ, is an overcomer. Jesus set his heart and face as a flint towards Jerusalem, we're told. He didn't shirk his responsibility. He went to the cross. He went as an overcomer. He is the first overcomer. And he has overcome all things, including the devil. And the overcomer lives in your life and my life. And that very zeal, that very faith, that very desire to please the Father also lives and resides in us as well. So he won't let you rest if you're an overcomer. We fight the good fight of faith. We lay hold unto eternal life. It's within us as well. Because the very power that was within him by the Spirit of the Lord is the very power that resides and lives within us as well. And so it doesn't mean necessarily that I won't be saved, but it does mean that I cannot be entirely his. You You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord makes his disciples his very own possession. And that's why the bride makes herself ready, because she's marrying him. She's going to become one with him. One flesh, one spirit, one heart, unity. Why? Because we are his possession. And so, because we are his possession, we become responsible for him. Have you ever thought that you are responsible for the Lord Jesus? I'm responsible for his name. I'm responsible for his love. I'm responsible for giving my enemies. I am responsible where I go, what I do, what I say. Not because of what I want, but because of him. That is what he's putting within us. And then we can start to experience that we're entirely his and his alone. And that's why he makes us his very own possession. Then he says, and I remind you again back in Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. You will go forth in confidence. You will go forth in the power of the Spirit, because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's because he possesses you, he owns you, and he trusts you, and he can send you to be that witness. You see, this idea of being a witness, it means that you have witnessed to something. You have been persuaded. You are influenced. This is what, of course, a court of law requires. It wants evidence. It wants witness to get a true verdict. And so likewise, God has done the same. He is our witness. We are experiencing him. We are eating of him. In that sense, we are being touched by him, influenced by him. That's what it means to be a witness. Do we have the witness of sonship in our lives? Am I witnessing? Am I experiencing that I am his possession? He owns me. Is that a witness to you? Is that your experience, that he owns you, he has you, and you have placed yourself on that altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2, in order for him to do that? Is that your witness? Is that your experience? If it is, then he says, go. If it isn't, you tarry. And many of us still have to tarry. And that's why it hasn't always happened. And that is the mercy and grace of God. You see, the unction, the desire that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit as disciples of Christ as we know, it's not one of doing anything for Jesus, but being a perfect delight to him. It's not in my doing that I please him. It's in my being. The opening of my heart, making myself available. Because in the being, it means that you have received him. And therefore, you have received him. He will do what he wants in and through you. And he knows exactly the needs. He knows exactly what he wants to say through you. He knows exactly where he wants to go through you. And how he wants to act through you. And empower you. And to touch through you. To heal, deliver, save, raise the dead, and so forth. Are you getting it? No wonder Satan hates this. No wonder he tries to oppress us and confuse us. And to try and get our eyes and heart and affection away from him. But Jesus said, I have overcome the enemy. So it can be done, and it will be done in and through us. And that's why he's accomplishing his work and his purpose through you and me. And it's on the result of being his. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, brothers and sisters, mine. He has a treasure. He has a redeemed who are being brought back. I don't think, as I close with this, we will ever, ever understand or realize fully how God felt when the enemy tempted Adam and Eve and brought them out of the perfect will of Almighty God. We'll never fully understand the results of what sin, rebellion has done in the world. We pick it up a bit, don't we, when we see the world, when we're witnessing, and we're witnessing now, aren't we, the great falling away, the utter confusion, the insanity now. What sin is doing to man's mind. The morals. I could just go on and on and on. We pick it up. We're grieved. We're disturbed by it. Do you know where that comes from? That comes from God's heart. Can you just imagine the delight that we give our Heavenly Father? That he has purchased us, he's redeemed us, and he's brought us back and restoring us. Can you imagine that delight that it gives him, the pleasure that it gives him, when he saw what he created had become corrupt? Man is the ultimate of God's creation. He has put in creation the very best in man. Why? Because we're made in his image. That is why. And he's looking for his image to be seen again in you and I. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today mine. Father, you again have revealed your heart to us. How can we not be touched? How can we not surrender? How can we turn away with the greatest price and gift that man has been given, and that is redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Calvary is so profound. It is so great. It is the greatest work and achievement ever to be done on planet Earth. And you have told us that we have always been yours, and that you gave Christ that gift, which is always yours, and you gave each one of us to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may redeem us and save us and cleanse us and bring us back to a right standing and relationship with you. Words fail us sometimes, Father. There just aren't the words. But we thank you. Thank you today for our meeting, our gathering together. Thank you, Lord, for bringing my brothers and sisters into the room from all around the world. Thank you, Lord, that you have a remnant to yourself in these last days who desire the bread of life, the word of God. My prayer is that you will ever preserve, bless and keep them. That they will have that revelation, that witness, that experience of Christ in them, the hope of glory. And that they will grow in wisdom, knowledge and understanding. That they will experience the power, the empowerment of the Spirit of God, changing their lives, conforming them into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you are raising up in these last days disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are doing a mighty deliverance, a change of heart and mind in which to do this. That is why you said in your word, it's not by might nor by power, it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. And finally, Father, I pray that you will keep them from the evil one. You will keep them from the God of this world, from deception, from lies. You will give your angels charge over them. I confess the blood of Jesus over their minds, their heart and spirit, and that you will guide their going out and their coming in. For this we ask now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Of God.